Blog Talk Radio.
Attention! Army wives, fall in!
You're tuned to the Internet Talk Radio Show designed specifically for Army Wives. Our life, our family, our soldier.
Brought to you by the Army Wife Network. Interactive empowerment for Army Wives. It's Army Wife Talk Radio. Up-to-the-minute information is right here with special reports, stories, interviews, and more.
Now reporting for duty, your host, the AWN Corps Team.
Hello, Army family. Welcome to Army Wife Talk Radio, the internet podcast designed specifically for you by the Army Wife Network Corps Team. This is show number 555, and I'm your host, Crystal Niehoff.
And I'm your co-host, Hope Griffin. Today is Monday, February 29th, 2016, which means it's leap year. We're glad you're here to hang out with us tonight.
We're having fun in our Twitter chat tonight, so if you're listening to our show live right now, join us. Follow along at twitter.com/Army Wife Network using hashtag Army Wife to participate.
Tonight's show is brought to you by our AWTR show sponsor, TDP MetLife. While defending our nation, you can protect your family's smiles and save with TRICARE Dental Program. Enroll today. You can learn more at www.metlife.com/TRICARE or call 1-855-METTDP1. Again, that's 1-855-METTDP1.
Coming up tonight on Army Wife Talk Radio, we have Emily Bleeker, author of When I'm Gone, joining us as our guest. You can find Emily on Twitter at Emily, that's E-M-I-L-Y, underscore Bleeker, B-L-E-E-K-E-R. On Facebook, you can find her at Emily Bleeker Author or visit her website at www.emilyblee.com. Also coming up later on our show is our Relationship Minute, so make sure to stay tuned for that. However, my favorite part of the show, one of my favorite parts, I love the guests, I like everything, I love the show. Before we get to that, though, we like to take some time to share what's going on in our lives and catch up with each other. So, Hope, tell us what's been going on in your Army wife life lately.
Well, I've been pretty busy. I've been working a lot lately, and we're on the search for a new vehicle. Mine is currently falling apart and is being held together by duct tape. No lie. I have duct tape holding my car together. So that's like the main search right now for us. It's just trying to find transportation that doesn't look like, I don't know, I'm still living back in Arkansas in the woods.
Yeah, but duct tape fixes everything.
Yes, it does. It fixed our sunroof. It fixed the driver's side window. It's great for a car.
I fixed a pipe using it one time. So I'm a firm believer. I think, if I remember right, Sharita, one of our core team members, wasn't it Sharita that had made a duct taped prom dress? Anybody remember
that?
I don't know. If I remember right, I thought that would be totally cool.
If she did, anyway, she needs to share a picture.
That would be cool. Maybe she could share it on Twitter tonight.
There you go.
So, but yes, it fixes everything. So, and you've been working. Now, where is it that you work?
I work at First Presbyterian Church in El Paso. I'm the director of family ministries. So we've been busy. We have a homeschool co-op. Yeah, we have a homeschool co-op that meets every Monday. So that's what I'm always doing before the show, all day Monday, working with the homeschoolers. So.
Oh, wow. Wow. And then, what is it? Your daughter shared her story
Well, my daughter last week, yeah, she got to go on K-Hey Country two nights in a row and share her story. And our whole family actually was on Friday night, and we all got to share our journey with St. Jude, because K-Hey Country does a yearly K-Hey Country Care St. Jude Radiothon, where they raise money for St. Jude. And so last year was Katie's first year to participate, and it was just her and her dad last year. And then this year, they had us all come out and just share why St. Jude is amazing and how they saved our daughter's life. So that was really, it was fun. It was emotionally exhausting, but it was absolutely wonderful, too.
Oh, wow. How neat. Well,
so what have you been up to?
No, it seems so boring. I'd love to hear everybody else's tales about what's going on in their lives, because mine just, I don't know. Everybody else seems to have such an exciting life. I don't think mine's that exciting, but I have totally discovered the CYSS, you know, the Child Youth Services classes for my kids. I mean, my son's done some sports, but here at Hood, they have classes, I mean, art classes, jewelry making classes. Oh, my goodness, I'm running around like a chicken with my head cut off, taking them all these different classes, but they're so fun, and I like kind of sitting in and watching. So, man, I don't know what took so long for me to discover these. These are great. I mean, it's really neat, and really it's not that expensive to sign up for
class. Not at all.
Mm-hmm. I highly recommend them now. They're fun. So, and like the last baking class that my daughter took, she decorated cupcakes for spring. And that, you know, that was neat. And so we had all these cupcakes, and so we went around and gave them out to neighbors so that we didn't eat them all. And, jewelry making, and it's been fun. So, and then my son, though, he's totally into sports, so... of course, we discovered sports early on, but it's really neat that they have so many different things. So, and then I'm really excited because two pieces of my artwork is going on sale at the Fort Sill History Museum gift shop.
What do you mean you're boring? Like, that's not boring. There's nothing boring about that. That's exceptional.
Well, thank you. I prefer talking with and listening to everybody else, you know. And,
you know, it feels weird to talk about ourselves sometimes.
Yeah, it does.
especially when we have such awesome guests on the show who follow us. So.
Oh, I know. You should talk. You were a guest. I'm thinking, I've never written a book, and if I did, I wouldn't have anything interesting to write about.
Oh, that's not true.
All these authors that have book after book, I just so admire them. It's always something I wanted to do. So if
you should.
Kinda, maybe someday if I can think of something to write about. My adventures at AWN.
There you go.
I'll talk about all your adventures. But it's fun to listen to everybody else's vibes, because I think that's kind of why this is a popular part of the show, is because, and I know that's something I enjoyed when I first started listening to the show way back before I was even part of AWN, is just hearing that, okay, everybody else's lives is so much like mine, you know, and okay, this happened to them or what, like, I'm sure we all in some way can relate to our car being held together by duct tape. I can. or the pipes in my house so it didn't flood. I mean, I love duct tape.
And it comes in so many pretty colors now.
One time my daughter made a purse out of duct tape, and that was like totally cool, and it's really durable. But, you know, I was saying duct tape, yogurt, or then my husband has thrown in ibuprofen can fix anything.
Just like Windex.
Cleans everything. I'm not one of those that have all these different cleaners in the house. I stick to just a couple. I have branched out into Clorox wipes. Totally love
those.
But it's
I love
like Windex on everything. Windex,
I leave those
the
in the bathroom with the kids.
Extraordinary.
Yes. Like, wipe down the counter before you go to bed. You have your wipes.
Yeah. So, anything else going on in your world?
We got a new pet. She's a 20-pound cat, or he's a 20-pound cat that we named Mouse.
Wow.
So that's
20-pound cat named Mouse.
20-pound cat named Mouse.
How did it come about, the name Mouse? Did the kids name it?
We tend to name our pets after Star Wars characters. And then the last cat we had, we named after a Dresden character. My husband's a big sci-fi fan. And so our last cat was Mister, and that was John's cat, and he just loved that cat. And it passed away last year. And so we didn't want to replace it for the longest time, but he just kept missing his cat. So we went around and we looked, and we found Mouse this weekend. And Mister is the name of the cat on Dresden Files, but the name of the dog was Mouse.
Oh.
So it just was funny to have a 20-pound cat named Mouse. So that's
how
that happened. Everything has a sci-fi explanation.
He could be the center of a new book for you. You know, the,
yes.
Like,
the cat named Mouse.
Cat. Yeah. Mouse the cat.
It's my new children's book. Maybe I should do a children's book.
Yeah. How Mouse the cat finds joy.
There you go. It all has to be about finding joy.
Yep. I love it. I love your book, though.
Aw, thanks.
Well, it's time for us to take a quick break. So hang tight, and we'll be back in just a moment to discuss some hot topics.
Army Wives, it's not your grandma's army anymore.
The military, in this day and age, plays a whole different tune. Army Wife Network is listening. We are interactive empowerment for Army Wives. A network of Army Wives band together by the power of social media. Army Wives supporting each other by utilizing the array of resources available from military and civilian-led support systems. Here's what's going on at Army Wife Network this week.
At ease and check it out.
Well, hot topic tonight, funded law school available to lieutenants and captains. A scholarship program that allows up to 25 junior officers to attend law school on the Army's dime is available to qualified applicants this year. Selections for the 2016 funded legal education program will be made by a board that meets in early December. Selected officers will be detailed to the Judge Advocate General's Corps before attending law school and will remain detailed to the JAGC for a one-year evaluation of qualifications before permanent assignment to the Corps. Officers incur an active duty service obligation of 2 years for every year of law school. You can go to militarytimes.com to learn more about the details and qualifications for this program. And we will be posting a direct link to this news story shortly in our Twitter feed.
From the Army Wife Network archives and our very own co-founder, Star Henderson, she shared in this blog post the power of power napping. We power everything else. We power walk or power up, but have you ever just powered down? You can read more about building the healthy habit of power napping at armywifenetwork.com/thepowerofpowernapping, or just look for it on the Experience blog.
I'd love a nap. I'd like to cash in on all those naps I refused to take in kindergarten.
Right?
That's my adult Christmas wish, is to cash in on all those naps. Last but not least, it's social media roundup time. Have you joined us for hashtag War Wednesdays over on Instagram? We ask you a question every Wednesday morning, and you answer using a hashtag.
Last week it was describe how you keep your kids busy on snow days. Follow along at Instagram.com/ArmyWifeNetwork. Our Instagram page is really growing and we're receiving some great comments. Make sure you check it out and join in the fun. And Hope, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, PSA time.
Oh, sorry. Okay, last but not least, it's public service announcement time. Do you or your business have a military-related PSA? We limit to one per show. We ask for them 10 days in advance to info@armywifenetwork.com. This week's PSA is the Veterans History Project reaches 100,000 milestone. The Library of Congress's program to preserve veterans' wartime memories has archived its 100,000 collection. The Veterans History Project collects veterans' first-person narratives from World War I through the more recent conflicts in Iraq and Afghanistan. Officials are highlighting the 100,000 milestone while renewing the call for volunteers to help veterans tell their personal stories so that future generations can better understand troops' experiences in war. The congressionally mandated project is in its 16th year. About 20,000 of the collections are available online at the Veterans History Project. A simple search of the website shows that more than half of the veterans' collections, nearly 58,000, come from those who served in World War II. The next highest, at 18,432, come from the Vietnam War. There are 2,252 collections from Iraq veterans and 1,029 from Afghanistan veterans. Project officials point to the online VHP field kit, which provides instructions, a list of interview questions, and required forms. They encourage individuals, businesses, high schools, colleges, and universities, congressional offices, houses of worship, and other organizations to participate. The website also offers a how-to video at www.loc.gov/VETS. So that's it for our PSA. Coming up next, after these quick commercial breaks, is Army Wife Network's News 6 Gen, bringing you the Need to Know stories. We'll be right back.
While defending our nation, your active duty service member can protect their family's smiles with the TRICARE Dental Program, TDP. It's dental protection that's deserved. This dedicated military service entitles spouses and or children and members of the National Guard or Reserve to receive comprehensive dental coverage. But don't forget, TRICARE Dental Coverage requires enrollment. TRICARE Medical Program options do not include TRICARE Dental Coverage. Call 1-855-MET-TDP1 or visit us online at tricare.mil/TDP.
How can I help my daughter with her reading?
Searching for help with Dachshund Breeding.
How can I help my daughter with her reading?
Information on hot water heating.
No, Sarah's bright, but when she's reading, she has trouble sounding out the words.
World music, playing track now.
No.
Let me try. Our daughter gets confused about which details in a story are important.
Which paper towels are most absorbent?
What?
Here are 5 product reviews.
Why are you not getting me?
See, I told you.
Wait, I was trying to show you how Sarah feels every day. Frustrating, isn't it? Redirecting to understood.org.
For the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues, this is what life can feel like. Explore understood.org, a free online resource about learning and attention issues, designed to help your child thrive in school and in life. Understood.org, because understanding is everything.
Brought to you by understood.org and the Ad Council.
Are you looking to reach military families worldwide? Do you have a product or service to offer our listeners? Advertise with the Army Wife Network. AWN has many advertising options specifically designed to reach our military families. Visit ArmyWifeNetwork.com for details. You're listening to the AWTR Live News 6 Report.
Our life, our family, our soldier, news you can use.
Now, with our headlines, it's our own AWN News 6.
Good evening, Army family. This is your News 6 again, bringing you all your need-to-know news. The Pentagon may send U.S. troops to Nigeria for a Boko Haram advisory mission. A small team of U.S. Special Operations troops may be heading to Nigeria to help the local army there to fight the extremist group Boko Haram, defense officials said. They are looking at a platoon-sized element, Lieutenant Commander Anthony Salvo, a spokesman for the U.S. Africa Command, said Friday. The deployment would be an advise and assist mission and would not involve U.S. troops in direct combat with the extremist group, Salvo said. The move would be similar to a previous mission to Nigeria that was halted in 2014 amid diplomatic tensions between the two countries. The recommendation for deploying troops to Nigeria came from the top U.S. Special Operations Commander in Africa, Brigadier General Donald Bolduc. That request was recently forwarded to Washington for approval by the Pentagon and the State Department. The Nigerian government for months has been requesting additional U.S. military support. The Army is stopping benefits for soldiers choosing to extend their overseas tours. A congressionally authorized program that provides special incentives to enlist soldiers who extend their overseas tours by 12 months or more has been put on hold by the Army. Acting Army Secretary Patrick Murphy will not approve the inclusion of any military occupational specialties or geographical locations to an overseas tour extension incentive program, according to a notice issued February 24th. Since the inclusion of OTEIP in federal law nearly 40 years ago, the program has been authorized for soldiers in select MOSs serving in Germany, South Korea, Japan, Alaska, and other overseas locations outside major combat zones. When authorized, OTEIP has featured a list of incentives, including special pay, special leave, travel entitlements, and lump sum bonuses. During the period of heavy deployments to Iraq and Afghanistan, the Army used OTEIP to reduce assignment turbulence and improve the personnel readiness of overseas units outside the combat zone. The TRICARE Dental Plan contract is changing hands. The Department of Defense has awarded a 5-year contract to United Concordia Company to administer the world's largest voluntary dental plan, TRICARE Dental Program. The TDP offers dental coverage to active duty families. It also covers National Guard and Reserve service members and their families. Currently, TDP serves approximately 1.8 million people and is presently being administered by MetLife. Services provided by MetLife will continue until February 1st, 2017. That's all the news for this week. Stay tuned to Army Life Network's Twitter feed and Facebook page for updates throughout the week. This is your News 6 Gen, signing out.
Operation In Touch offers special savings, coupons, and editorial content tailored to the lives of our active military families, providing useful beauty tips and recipes, as well as news and ongoing promotions. Operation In Touch is sponsored by Unilever and its brands, serving as a resource for American military families who serve this nation each and every day. As a member of Operation In Touch, you'll receive exclusive offers and savings on Unilever products you know and love. Registration is easy and free. Simply visit OperationInTouch.com to sign up today. And be sure to like us on Facebook.
Wait, what'd you say?
You're listening to Army Wife Talk Radio live here on the Army Wife Network. Our live show is broadcast every Monday night. Join us in our live chat room at blogtalkradio.com/AWTR. Missed a live show or just can't make it? Don't worry. AWTR is available in archived format 24/7 via our website, www.armywifenetwork.com, or on iTunes. It's interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Army Wife Talk Radio. I'm your host, Crystal Niehoff. And Hope, are you there? Can you hear me?
I'm here.
Okay. So,
sorry.
I had it on mute.
Okay. I'm your co-host, Hope Griffin. Tonight we have with us Emily Blacker, a former educator who learned to love writing while teaching her students writer's workshop. After surviving a battle with a rare form of cancer, she finally found the courage to share her stories, starting with her debut novel, Wreckage.
A fully recovered secret writer, Emily now spends her days wrangling four kids while planning out plot lines and writing about people in her head. We're pleased to welcome Emily to the show tonight to talk about her latest novel, When I'm Gone. Emily, welcome.
Hi, thank you.
Hi.
We're so glad you're here with us tonight. Please tell us a little bit about yourself and where you're calling from tonight.
Well, I'm calling from Chicago. Well, kind of the north suburbs of Chicago, and I've lived here most of my life. And I have four kids, like you said, and they're from ages 4 to 11.
And did we lose Hope again?
Yes.
I don't know.
Okay. So your last novel, your latest novel, When I'm Gone, is about a man raising his children on his own after losing his wife to cancer. So what inspired you to write the story?
You know what? When I was 25, I was diagnosed with synovial sarcoma. It's a really rare type of cancer. And my children, I only had two at the time, but they were only 3 months old when I was diagnosed. And so it was kind of scary for me because I was given, my prognosis was a chance, 50% chance of survival for 3 years. So maybe I'd make it to 28, 50% chance. And then only a 30% chance that I'd make it into my 30s. And so I started calculating how old my kids would be at that point, and I realized they wouldn't remember me if I passed away, you know, and that was kind of hard. So I started writing a journal for each of my kids. So I kind of took that idea and then, of course, changed it totally, but I mean just that idea, and changed it into this idea of a wife sending letters to her husband. But, of course, there's a little bit of a mystery involved there about secrets from their past.
Oh, wow. So as a mother of four, how did writing about children losing their mother affect you personally?
You know, I already had all those emotions, like already had all those feelings pent up inside of me from when I went through it myself. I feel like the emotions in the novel are really, really real. You know, they're things that I totally felt. And so writing it was almost therapeutic, where I got to go through feeling those things again and remembering what that was like and going through those fears. Because something people don't remember about cancer is that it's hard on your body, but even after you're cured, you're scared. You know, you're scared for years after, like, it's going to come back, or then I'm going to go to a scan, and then I'm going to have to go do all of these treatments, you know, and your life could change at any minute.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Like, just from personal experience, our daughter had cancer at 6 months of age, and every time she has a headache or something isn't quite right. Like, the very first time she had a headache, I rushed her to the ER and made her do a CAT scan.
Right. Yep.
For
That's exactly how it is.
It's terrifying.
I think that stays with you.
Oh, absolutely.
So
do
you think that writing then helped you work through those emotions?
Yeah, I think they did, you know, and I also enjoyed writing it because I work a lot with supporting people who are going through the same type of cancer that I had. And I think it's just good for people to know that those feelings are normal, you know, like, because I think sometimes once you get the, you know, no evidence of disease, you're like, everybody else thinks, oh, that's done. That was so hard. That's done, you know, but it's kind of nice to know that these are normal feelings to be able to experience and to go through and to have be a reoccurring fear, you know, and I think it validated that.
Right. So what was the most, kind of deviating from script, but we've had a question from one of our readers.
Sure.
What is the most challenging part of writing this book for you?
I think it was actually going through and considering, because in it, obviously, Natalie, the main character, is dead, you know? So I think perhaps going through and really considering what the future, Natalie is not me. I just like saying that about characters. I've never written a character that is me before, ever. So she's definitely not me. but, you know, just exploring that future that, you know, could potentially have been somewhat like my future. I think that was difficult. It was compelling and it was actually quite interesting to do, but it was also kind of scary and emotional.
Oh,
it's okay. I was going to ask the same thing. What was the most rewarding part of writing this book for you?
I don't know. This is going to sound weird, but getting through, like writing it to figure out, go through all of those emotions, but then also the emotions of the characters are a little bit different because there is this big mystery where Luke becomes like obsessed with these letters and the mysteries that are in them. So I think I just love a good story like that, you know? So I think having it all come together, because you have to understand, at least for me, my characters become like real people, that you might think I sound really crazy saying that they become real, but they really do. And that's when I know that a story is right and it's the one I need to put on the page, is when I really get to know my characters and care about them and I'm thinking about them, you know, when I'm not on writing, you know, and when I start caring about what's going on in their lives, which is crazy because I'm making up what's going on in their lives, but, you know, at the same time, you know, it really is something where I feel like they kind of get a life of their own.
Right. Oh, I absolutely understand. I just, from reading characters, like, I want to tag them on Facebook sometimes. I see things I think they like, you know, like,
exactly.
They come, those are the best characters. So one of my questions, because I write some too, and I'm very curious about how you write full time and you take care of your kids and you balance your schedule. Personally, those are really hard things for me.
Yes. Oh, they're really hard for me too. But, you know, I really think it comes down to, like, there are two things. It's flexibility and then also setting your priorities. So, you know, I have to be flexible about when I write. Right now, that's just how it is in my life. I don't have a set time where I write this time every day. It just hasn't worked for me. So I have certain times in the day where I allow myself to write. So I know that when my daughter gets home from preschool, she's tired. She's going to lay down and rest, probably won't take a nap, maybe have quiet time in a room. I'm allowed to write then. Like if I, you know, those are I just find certain times where I'm like, okay, these are times where it's okay for me to write. I set a word goal for the day, and then in those times, I allow myself to write. At the same time, I have other times where I promise myself and my children, not out loud, but in my head, that I won't write, you know, like when they're coming home from school, when, you know, they want to play outside, when we're getting ready for bed. Like, so I promise myself and my kids that I won't write during those times. And, you know, I feel like that so far has worked for priorities, and right. Maintaining that balance. It's hard. It's really hard, but mm-hmm. It's really the only thing that's worked for me thus far.
Okay. So, Emily, how did you get your start in writing? What prompted you to start writing?
I don't know. I've thought about this a lot lately, and I kind of feel like writing picks you. Like, you just, the characters are develop in your head, and you think about them, and you know, they grow so heavy that you need to put them on the page, you know. But I think I started young, but I was not willing to admit to being a writer until I signed with my publisher, crazy enough. Like, I'd written a whole novel, gotten an agent, and I wasn't willing to say it out loud until, that's why I say I'm a secret writer, is because I kind of was shy about it, you know, for a long time. But it's just always been something where I love stories. I love reading stories. I love watching stories. Like, I love TV don't tell. But and I love writing stories, you know.
Kind of going along with that, how long did it take for you to get your first book published?
Well, I started, like, if you start from when I started writing Wreckage after I turned 30, because it was like part of my celebration of making it to 30 was to, you know, write a book was one of my goals. So I started writing it then. And so from then to when it was published, it was about four years. But from the time I finished it to when it was published, because that, you know, is a different thing, I think, also, it was like 2 years. So, but I feel like the first book takes a little longer. You know, it's like a first baby where you're like learning how to be a mom and learning how to write and learning all of those tricks. And so it took a while. I feel like When I'm Gone took about a year.
All right. Well, Emily, we have to take a quick break. So when we come back, let's talk about advice for moms who work from home and for those that maybe are going through some challenging situations in their life right now. And listeners, don't forget the AWN Core team has some fun discussion going on in our Twitter chat, and you can ask questions. If you have a question for Emily, join us over at twitter.com/ArmyWifeNetwork using hashtag ArmyWife to participate. We'll be right back with more Army Wife Talk Radio in just a moment.
Finding a career that's right for military life has its challenges, but CareerStep offers a great solution. Thanks to MyCAA funding, military spouses who qualify can complete any of CareerStep's courses for a variety of healthcare careers with no out-of-pocket expenses. CareerStep even includes a laptop at no additional charge for most programs. With online courses you can fit around your schedule, CareerStep offers the flexibility required for a military lifestyle. It's a great way to train for rewarding, in-demand careers whenever and wherever you are. Visit careerstep.com/military to learn more today.
Last weekend, my son's Boy Scout troop put on their annual Court of Honor ceremony. It was a potluck dinner, and I was looking forward to the typical varieties of mac and cheese, casseroles, and fried chicken. After opening remarks by the night's MC, we joined the line to get our dinners. I realized when we got back to our seats that we hadn't gotten drinks. So I quickly went in search for the beverage table. While filling our cups, I realized that we also hadn't gotten desserts. I quickly went to deliver our drinks and get back in time to get banana pudding for me and brownies for Joy. They always seem to go first. Well, imagine my surprise when I got back and she wasn't there. I looked up and she was coming back with desserts. And I got frustrated. Why? Because my love language is appreciation and her love language is acts of service. And I wanted to commit another act of service for her and get appreciated for it. I often get frustrated when our love languages conflict. What is your love language? Just to remind you, the other love languages besides acts of service and appreciation are quality time, gifts, and physical touch. Do you know your spouse's love language? Do you have communication conflicts because your love languages are different? If you don't know them, find out what they are and practice them. Your relationship and your marriage will be better for it. This is Kevin Decker, Certified Relationship Coach. Thank you for listening to the Relationship Minute on the Army Wife Network. For help with your relationships, go to GetROR.com. That's GetROR.com. Make sure you visit this month because there's a special offer just for you. Again, it's GetROR.com.
Kathy Ireland for the Will Rogers Institute.
Are you worried that your kids aren't spending enough time being physically active? The best fitness is family activity. Ride bikes, play soccer, or just take a walk through the neighborhood. The important thing is to get your children moving with you. For more information on family activities and fitness, call the Will Rogers Institute.
Call toll-free 877-957-7575 or visit wrinstitute.org and find us on Facebook and Twitter.
Want more? ArmyWifeNetwork.com offers discussion boards, military family resources, Loving a Soldier blog, and much, much more. Tell your friends about AWN with our interactive tools. Visit us online at ArmyWifeNetwork.com. ArmyWifeNetwork.com. Interactive empowerment for Army wives.
Well, welcome back to the show. We're here talking with Emily Bleeker, author of When I'm Gone, a novel about a man raising his children on his own after losing his wife to cancer. Before we went to break, Emily, we were kind of going over how writing picked you and how you juggle that with raising four kids. I wanted to kind of touch on military families and the challenges that they face besides deployments and reintegration. There's also health issues, just like you discuss in your book. What advice would you give to those families facing such challenges?
You know what, my biggest piece of advice always is two things. Don't be afraid to ask for help, but more importantly, don't be afraid to let people help you. That was really hard for me when I was sick, was letting other people help me. I always wanted to be able to say, no, I'm fine, I've got this, you know. But I found that when I let other people help me, it brought me closer to them. It gave me something I definitely needed, which was help. I mean, I desperately did need the help, even though I kept saying, no, I'm fine, you know, and that there is nothing wrong with communicating those needs to other people. And people want to help. That's the thing, is especially when there's an illness involved, people want to help, but they have no idea how to. So sometimes, you know, just letting someone know how to help, or just opening that door for someone to be able to help you, it not only gets you what you need, it also gives them the opportunity to feel better and feel like they're doing something in an impossible situation.
Absolutely. So what would you say, this is a question from one of our listeners, what is the biggest misconception about cancer patients or families that are dealing with cancer?
That's a good question. You know, I think one of the big misconceptions, and I talk about it a little bit in the book, is that your life is only cancer. You know, that is all your life becomes. That's all you think about. That's all you dream about. You know, there, of course, are certain times in your treatment and in your illness that your life is just like, oh, my goodness, I'm in the hospital. Oh, my goodness, I have this next test. But you still are living your life. You know, you have this one piece of your life, which is your sickness, and then the rest of your life is still going on. I think that's important to remember.
Well, another reader was asking, what was your biggest inspiration with the cancer fight? What was your biggest inspiration?
Like to keep me going? Like what kept me going?
Yes.
During your cancer fight. I mean, I'm going to be, stereotypical. I'd say first my kids, you know. And also, I just think wanting to be around, like, and loving life, as cheesy as that sounds. You know, I was enjoying life. I was enjoying, you know, everything that it was bringing me. And I just knew it wasn't time. And if it was time, I was going to be pretty stinking mad. Because and I think you see that a little with Natalie in the book, because I think every time that someone comes to the end of their life, whether it is when they're 99 or, I don't know, maybe at 99 I'd be cool with it. I'd be like, I'm done. Peace. I'm out. But I think, you know, at 25 I was definitely not done at all. So just wanting to keep enjoying being alive, you know.
Okay, so you mentioned Natalie, and When I'm Gone, there's an element of mystery you talked about in suspense.
Yeah.
Was that always your intention, or was that something that happened organically, or did you know from the very beginning, or did it surprise you?
Oh, no, it didn't surprise. I love mysteries. Like, I love mysteries. I love watching Dateline, and, like, I always want to be like, oh, no, he didn't do it. Oh, no, he did do it. Like, you know, so anything I write is going to have an element of mystery in it somewhere, because I just find it so interesting and compelling myself. And I absolutely love constructing a story that is around a mystery. You know, and it's challenging. It's like a puzzle because you got to make everything work together just perfectly so you don't reveal it too soon. It's not too predictable. You know, all of those pieces.
Right.
Now another listener was asking, do you ever encounter writer's block, and what inspiration do you use to tackle the writer's block?
Yes, I do. I really do, you know, and it goes along with all those emotions. You know, I've always said it's strange being a writer, because if you're an accountant and you're feeling sad, you can still go to work and, you know, crunch your numbers. But if you're a writer and you're going through something that's difficult, if you're really stressed or any of these emotions, it does block you. And you're like, it's my job. I gotta make this happen. But it's also a creative process, so you can't force it all the time. So I would say one thing that I do that helps me is I get a movie and I watch all of the previews, because I think previews are one of my favorite things on the planet, because movie trailers, because they take you through like all the emotions of the whole movie in that like 2 minutes. And it really pulls that excitement and creativity out of me. So if I can just go to a movie, or going in the theater is even better. Like, I tear up at just about every trailer. And I'm like, that's going to be the best movie ever for, like, every trailer I see. So, you know, I think that really helps me get my juices going, is watching the trailers on a movie.
Well, you mentioned your favorite kind of TV shows. Do you have a favorite movie? Are they all mysteries?
Oh, no. I like all kinds of movies. Like, I've always said, I am not a movie snob at all. Like, I'll try to pretty much anything. Okay, not anything. But, you know, I really do. I just enjoy stories, and I enjoy, you know, seeing them play out and how people are creative. And like, I'll get so proud of the writers, like when a really great moment happens in a movie, I'll be like, that was awesome. Like, really good job, guys. Really good, solid job. You know?
High five the screen.
Right, exactly. I'm like, whoa. I want to be like you when I grow up. That was really awesome.
So you're headed there. When you watch the movies or the shows, do you ever think, I would have wrote that differently?
I do, definitely. But you know what I like to do more than that is I like trying to make correct predictions. Like, I'm kind of obsessed. Sit and watch a movie or whatever. And I try not to do it out loud because I pretty much think that's annoying. Like, I don't know. You guys might think it's annoying. I don't know. I love doing it. So, and then I just give myself a little high five at the end if I get it right or whatever. So that's really my most favorite thing to do, especially because I respect a writer's process. You know, they're probably not going to come to the same ending that I am. But I love it if I can guess what that ending is going to be.
Right. Now, we mentioned that you have two books out. Do you have any others? You have While I'm Gone and the name escapes me.
Refuge is the other one, yeah.
Thank you.
How many books do you have that I have now? But I'm writing a book 3, so hopefully this time next year we'll be seeing and having another launch coming up.
Yay!
Hopefully.
Now, do you have any advice for a parent that, you know, you're busy with 4 kids and if you work from home? Do you have any advice for parents that work from home or are trying to launch a career while taking care of the kids, how to juggle all that?
Yeah, it is a lot. I mean, and it's very overwhelming. But I think the main thing that I like to tell people is that you need to be kind to yourself and be gentle with yourself. You know, you have to remember your kids. They are cheering for you. Like, my kids think what I do is awesome, and they are very excited for me. Do they still get frustrated sometimes when I have a deadline and I have to sit and write when they want to be doing something else? Yeah. but the majority of the time they are incredibly supportive of me. And then the other thing is just make short-term goals and then celebrate the heck out of achieving them. Like, you go get yourself a Slurpee, you go take yourself to a movie, like, you celebrate whatever your short-term goal is, you set it, you reach it, you celebrate it. Like, I think that is the best way to make it through when you're running your own business, really.
So, back to the stories, like,
yeah,
you like TV shows and movies, and I want to hear about what kind of books you're reading and if they influence your writing.
You know, it's a little weird because I say, you know, I love mysteries and I love action movies. Like, I shouldn't admit that, but I do. But my books, I like classics. Like, I love all the classics, and I will read them over and over again. Anytime I find one that I haven't read, I go and read it and then keep it and then read it again, you know. But, and you would think that that would not inspire me to write contemporary fiction or, you know, but I find, and what I love is reading those stories and finding that human beings are human beings. Like, wherever you go, wherever you read, you know, that people are people, even 200 years ago. And I don't know, there's something really interesting about that to me, that even though it's maybe from, you know, 200 years ago, but I can still really relate to these characters and their emotions and their feelings. And that's good writing, you know, that's just good writing.
Right.
And I love dystopian novels, I'll just admit that. It's a guilty pleasure.
Who doesn't?
Right.
Now, you mentioned, I've got to ask, a book three. Can you give us any details about that?
I can't give tons of details. I'll just say that it's about two sisters, and one of them is a paramedic, and she gets called to a scene, and it's her sister's house. So, and then there's a whole story that goes behind that and figuring out what happened. And so that's where I am. I mean, I'm not super far into it, but yes, that's about as much as I can share.
So is there anything else on the horizon for you? Book-wise?
I'm sorry,
could you
say that again?
Is there anything else on the horizon for you, book-wise or otherwise?
Book-wise? No, you know, I dabble in lots of other areas in writing, but right now I'm focusing mostly on women's fiction or contemporary fiction. But, you know, there are always stories. It's very funny because stories, they come, you know, you don't always control what stories you come up with. So I always have my main project I'm working on, and then I always have my side project that, you know, whenever I need to take a little breather or break from the intensity of my main project, I have my side project that I go and dabble with. So, that's a secret project, not secret, but it's kind of my, like, special side project, and it changes, you know, but I feel like you have to have that. You can't just work. I mean, some people might be able to, I can't just work on one story for months and months and months without sometimes going and seeing a couple of my other friends and my other stories.
Right. So where can our listeners go to find out more about you or your books? Or?
Well, they can go to my website, which is emilybleeker.com. I'm also on Twitter at Emily_Bleeker. And then I'm also on Facebook, and it's just facebook.com/EmilyBleekerAuthor.
Great. Well, Emily, we're so grateful you were here with us, or that you were able to call in and join us tonight. Thank you so much for being with us and for sharing your story.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me.
One more listener that would like, if you have just a minute for one more quick question.
Yeah, sure.
Of course. We have another listener that is wanting advice for people who are afraid to branch out and try to write.
That's a good one.
And I have to say, this is so common, you know. So, listener, whoever you are, do not fear. Like, that is so common to be afraid to branch out and write. But I just say that, first of all, just do it. Just write. Don't worry about sharing it at first. You know, just write for yourself. Really enjoy that process. And then also be willing to go and learn. Like, go and learn about writing. Read a book on writing. Find a website where there are other writers. Make those connections. And then it's just going to start to become like a second language to you. And then you'll become more comfortable. And then the more people that you share with, the more you'll understand that you are a writer and you always have been a writer. It's mm-hmm. just that now you're mm-hmm. actually getting to the point of sharing that out loud, saying it out loud and in public.
Okay. Good tip.
I love that. Well, that's great advice.
Well, thank you so much, and thank you for staying on a bit longer for us to ask that question. It was too good of a question to pass up, and I wanted to pass it along.
Oh, no problem.
And thank you for all your advice, and we're looking forward to reading more.
Awesome. Well, thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
Have a great evening. Thank you so much.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Join us next week, March 7th, 2016. On the show, we're featuring Arlena Strode of Children's Culinary Institute, so you won't want to miss it.
In the meantime, join us on armywifenetwork.com to stay connected to resources, information, expert columnists, and share the journey with many of our experienced contributors. Or you can follow along on any of our social media outlets, such as Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
Interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. This is the Army Wives Network's core team signing out. Have a great week.
The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. Army Wife Talk Radio is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services, and inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DOD, any local government, or their agencies. Thank you for listening, and be sure to tune in again next week for another informative edition of Army Wife Talk Radio.